This is GQDN for Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Brought to you by Audible. Go get your free credit at audibletrial.com/scriptquest. By the way, there's an Audible sale right now, so you can get two books for one credit. Go check that out. And by patreon.com/thegroupquest. And by stackup.org. In today's news, we do have an update of Alan Wake 2. Could be a new Warhammer MMO, and some Final Fantasy news as well. But today, we begin with an IGN article that says why games are broken on PC. So, they're basically talking about games like the Last of Us Part 1 remake, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and Redfall, and even Final Fantasy VII remake. Because all that came over to PC and just people couldn't play it. Well, John Linman, which is a video producer for the Digital Foundry, he's also the staff writer for IGN, Digital Foundry, did say, quote, "One of the biggest hurdles of variety of hardware configurations available, consoles fixed platforms, but PCs are wide open. Any user can have a PC built from a variety of parts running a different operating system with different drivers. For games that push visual envelope, this can put a lot of stress on hardware, resulting in a subpar performance for some users. There are only so many permutations a developer can test while building their game. So it's very likely that upon release, day one buyers will immediately uncover issues that require patching." And he did get into Star Wars Jedi Survivor, because there was some PSO stuttering and some poor CPU threading that was going on most of PCs. And he also went on with some of the technology that was going around. But John Lowitz, that is Red Start's interactive head of design and engineering, did say, quote, "Small studios, and sometimes large ones as well, will launch their game on a single platform that they have tested well in order to start generating some revenue. Then later down the road, launch on additional platforms once they see some traction with their initial launch. The ergonomics of using mouse and keyboard feels significantly different from a controller and often means a significant redesign of all the game controls. On controllers, players can move the joysticks in a variable amount. Changing the speed or movement on the keyboard isn't possible. Similarly, with a mouse or touch screen, you can point to an exact position, whereas with a controller, any position is relative." So there is indeed that. Where do you side on this story? Is it the PC that you have? Or is it the game's fault? I doubt that you'll blame yourselves. Eurogamer did say, though, in something more positive, Summer Games Fest Live will feature 3 or 4 pretty big things. So, the Summer Games Fest starts on the 8th of June, which is right around the corner, and that'll show a live show consisting of some premieres, some gameplay demos, and obviously some announcements. So, but Jeff Keighley, the show host and producer, did have an interview on the Epic Game Store. So some of the things of what he said is that the Summer Game Fest is more laid back than what the Game Awards is, which from what I've seen over the past few years is true. But they will have a, quote, "chance to talk to developers and showcase games and give a little bit more context around games." Now, the exact lineup is in flux, because some of the games are put in and some of the games are pulled due to development of the game. In fact, he did talk about that, saying, quote, "As I always say with these shows, one or two games kind of makes the entire difference. As a producer, it's challenging because sometimes you have those games, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you think you have them, and they drop out or change." Now, Summer Games Fest is on the 8th of June, right? Xbox will have their showcase on the 11th of June, but they will be under the Summer Game Fest banner, and Ubisoft will have their stage on the 12th of June. Yeah, that's going to be a pretty busy week. So, it'll be a big news week right there. More like big news weekend going into Monday of that week. Now, we get to Ubisoft's Star Wars game via PlayStationLifestyle.net. And what they're saying is that the release date window is probably set. Well, look, Ubisoft Star Wars was announced back in 2021, but did not have a trailer, logo, and not even an official name. Now, what that means is that's going to be a little ways off. But this is according to Kotaku. The story-driven and open-world Star Wars game will come from Massive Entertainment, and the studio behind The Division and its sequel is looking at a release date of early 2024. Now, Ubisoft will be having their showcase, like I said, on June the 12th, and the way that it looks, it will have Assassin's Creed Mirage, and this is according to PlayStationLifestyle.net, Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora, Skull and Bones, and they might be talking about some other stuff too. So we'll see what happens there. Now we get to something that I'm looking forward to, but more Final Fantasy stuff. And what Naoki Yoshida did say is that maybe it's time to remove some of the numbers from the title. So here's what he said, quote, and this is via IGN.com. That's actually something I've discussed with the higher-ups. Maybe it's about time we remove numbers from the title. For example, you have Final Fantasy XIV. You get a new player coming in, and it's like, wait a minute, why do I have to play Final Fantasy XIV if 16 is out? Why don't we just call it Final Fantasy Online? Just get rid of the number altogether, and that will make it easier to understand. Whether Final Fantasy XVII or Final Fantasy XVIII should have a number or not, that's going to be whoever has to develop that game and whoever's in charge of the branding. So that's their problem, not ours. Interesting. So what would you think about that? Should they drop the numbers or no? Now we get to someone that's leaving, and making their own studio. Via InsiderGaming.com, the Battlefield veteran Lars, I apologize for butchering the name, Gustavsson did make Studio TT Games. And according to Company Flings, the studio will be located in Stockholm and did receive its registration number in November 2022. So what Lars did say via more like thanking the people at DICE and EA, quote, I've dedicated a substantial portion of my life to Battlefield, and I'm very proud to have helped shape this franchise into what it is today. However, I think it's time for something new. Thank you for all your support over the years, especially to all the extremely talented co-workers I had the pleasure to work with, and above all, the love and support from the community. I'm sure I speak for both of us when I say we're excited to pass the baton to the next generation of Battlefield creators, DICE, Ripple Effect, Industrial Toys, and Ridgeline Games, and to see how the series evolves into their capable hands. You are ready to do this. Farewell, and don't forget to play the objective. Now, here we go, another name to screw up. Jackaliptic Games did announce a new Warhammer MMO. Okay, so this is a NetEase-funded company, to which they were founded in May 2022. Via Daybreak Austin Cryptic Studios CEO Jack Emmert, which he had experience on working on the MMOs like DC Universe Online, Star Trek Online, and City of Heroes. And he did say, quote, on the Warhammer or on their studio website, as someone who has molded my career developing expansive MMO stories, I'm proud to unveil that our first game in development at Jackaliptic Games will focus on the rich universe of Warhammer, bringing the deep lore of this IP Tory Game is a massive undertaking, and we are thrilled to work alongside Games Workshop to begin to bring this vision to life. We haven't specified on a particular IP yet, but I can tell you, as a longtime fan of everything Warhammer, I'm thrilled. Honestly, my career has been spent trying to create games inspired by personal hobbies. Comic books, superhero heroes, Champions Online, Star Trek, Star Trek Online, D&D, Neverwinter, DC Comics, DC Universe Online, and a couple of stabs at Marvel. Warhammer is another passion of mine. Now, this won't be the first Warhammer MMO, because their last attempt at it was Warhammer Online Age of Reckoning, but we shall see what happens next. Now we go to NintendoEverything.com, and they are saying that Everdream Valley will be out on Switch in June. So here's what Everdream Valley had to say. Quote, "This little homestead needs a lot of attention, a sprawling variety of fruits and veggies to grow, and a vast collection of animals to raise. Protect your crops, keep your animals happy, and gather the resources to repair and expand your farm. Everdream Valley has a very few people disturbing the peace, so animals thrive here. Pigs, cows, chickens, ducks, goats, so on and so forth. The list goes on. Alpacas. Each creature, wild and domesticated, comes with some unique influence on your farm. Everdream Valley is all about caring for the animals. Rest assured, you'll never be turning favorite cow Bessie into a burger patty. And it's coming on May the 30th. Here we go. And yes, that's Commando. And we go to Eurogamer.net because Alan Wake 2, well, this is what a voice actor says, that it might release this October. Well, Matthew Peretta, who does play, controls Dr. Casper Darling, did appear on the YouTube podcast Monsters, Madness, and Magic over the weekend, and he did say that Alan Wake 2 is, quote, supposed to come out in October. So here's what he's saying. Quote, "I've been working on it. That's supposed to come out in October. We're in the middle of working on it now. We shall see whether or not it does. But you know who we are. You know what we do. We are a group quest, and we are all a part of the Dawnforge network. This has been a Dawnforge production 2023. All rights are reserved. We'll see you tomorrow for more gaming news. Until then, go play some games, people."